Hello again, you're with the News at One. Around the world, countries are grappling with the implications of Donald Trump's tariffs and considering how to retaliate. The EU's Trade Commissioner, Maros Shefcovic, has said he'll talk to his US counterparts tomorrow. A baseline tariff of 10% will be introduced on Saturday, with higher duties coming into effect on Wednesday of next week. In the main, countries with large trading surpluses with the US will be hardest hit. Vietnamese goods face a 46% import tax. Myanmar, coping with the aftermath of an earthquake, is looking at a 44% rate. The figure for Thailand and Bangladesh is 37%. All EU countries will have to pay a 20% tariff. For Britain and the North, the figure is 10%. While pharmaceutical exports weren't included in this announcement, the Taoiseach Simon Harris has said the government's working assumption is that there will be further measures aimed specifically at pharma. Joining us in studio this lunchtime is the Minister for Public Expenditure, Jack Chambers. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
There have been warnings that tens of thousands of jobs could be at risk if tariffs are introduced. What's your up-to-date assessment of the likely impact on the Irish economy?
Well, what I would say in the first instance, this is going to cause serious damage and disruption to the EU and the global economy. And we know as an open trading economy, Ireland is particularly at risk in the context of an economy we've built over decades where the enterprise trading approach has been central to the prosperity and improvement of living standards that we've seen. What I would say as well to balance against that is that we are coming from a position of strength with full employment, inflation has moderated. And we are running surpluses and fiscal buffers are central to our overall economic management with this. But we know that the uncertainty, the lack of predictability and the instability that this will bring will affect investment decisions and will affect the prospect of increased jobs growth in the coming years. And we've seen that from the Department of Finance assessment, where companies who were due to grow may not grow to the same extent that they believed. And we know that in particular sectoral specific impacts could create job impacts. But this is the first chapter on what will be a long, protracted degree of uncertainty that we haven't seen for decades. And in fact, it's one of the biggest disruptions to global trade in over 100 years. And we're assessing this on an ongoing basis with the Department of Enterprise and others on how we can best respond back to that. And the central focus for the Irish government will be to protect jobs, livelihoods and communities through this period and provide a constructive voice within the European system on how best we can respond to this and have a measured approach in the context of wanting to preserve the trade which has been enhanced between the EU and the US over so many years.
And we'll come to how you can do that in just a moment. But first of all, are you expecting that there will be further measures aimed specifically at pharmaceutical exports?
Well, as the Taoiseach has said and others, we've seen many of the remarks made by Secretary of State Lutnick and President Trump specifically targeting the pharmaceutical sector. I don't think we can take any degree of optimism from the announcement made last night.
You reckon something is coming?
We know that there's possibilities that will come, and that's why I've said this is the starting phase of this in what will be long and protracted. That's why the intensive negotiations which we want to see undertaken between the EU and the US are crucial.
Do you believe that the US is willing to negotiate?
Well, it demonstrates the complexity of the supply chains which have been integrated and developed over many years, and that Ireland provides an important component in one aspect of the manufacturing domain, some of which is completed and then the value is added in the US. So to untangle that is a very complex difficulty for any trading bloc, and that's why I think the US may have held back on that in this particular instance. But we know that pharmaceuticals and other areas of trade policy are something the US administration has referenced, and I don't think we can take any comfort yet on what is due to come, and this will be a long protracted period where we need to refocus on how we can manage the fundamentals in the Irish economy to best position ourselves for the
future.
And
again, we can come back to that, but on this question of negotiations with the United States, do you believe that Donald Trump's administration, that they want to negotiate?
Well, I think they referenced that last last night, and they want to engage with different trading blocs, and we want to see the European Union do that. And I think the statement from President von der Leyen around having a measured and considerate approach is welcome, because that allows the scope and the space for the EU and the US to negotiate across these trading patterns. And that's why the integration of the respective supply chains, which we've seen develop over decades, shows the how the two trading blocs are so interconnected across so many areas of trade. And that's why that negotiation will be central to protect the prosperity which has grown.
She also said, though, and others have been saying it as well today, that the EU is willing to retaliate. Now, are you concerned that the EU response, that it might actually make things worse for some companies based here, especially those in the tech sector?
Well, the first priority for us is to have that negotiation, and I welcome the statement from President von der Leyen. Obviously, if that isn't forthcoming and we don't see a constructive outworking of that, it's standard in any trade dispute that there would be retaliatory or countermeasures from a trading bloc. But the first instance approach is to create space, is to have a constructive engagement with the US administration on how we can move this away from the cliff edge, which will be damaging for everybody.
But just on that question of whether the response could end up being as bad as the initial action, we heard it there on our news bulletin, France saying that maybe the EU should look at the tech sector. Now, that would affect companies here.
And that's why that's why there's serious downside risks on how this manifests itself. And we can't take any degree of optimism from what wasn't referenced last night, why we're going to be entering into a volatile period, which will be protracted and which will go on for a significant period because of the negotiations which have to take place. And that's why the government will take a very responsible and focused approach in managing the economy through this period around, you know, our medium-term fiscal strategy, on how we can address some of the fundamentals in the Irish economy, which do need to be addressed in the context of infrastructure development and to unlock further economic growth.
In the meantime, and I know this is quite a specific question, some groups aren't sure whether they're covered by last night's announcement. For instance, are medical devices covered under pharmaceutical exports?
I've engaged with the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade on this morning, and my understanding, their current interpretation of that is that they're not included in the exemption for pharmaceuticals.
So they will be facing a tariff.
But my understanding is that they're not included in the exemption, but that we'll need a technical breakdown from the US to get absolute clarity on that. But their current interpretation is that they're not included in the general exemption, which was referenced relating to pharmaceuticals.
How significant is it that goods exported from the South are now facing a 20% tariff, while goods exported from the North are facing a tariff of just 10%?
Yeah, this is an additional complexity, and obviously we have the Windsor framework, which underpins how we manage the broader trading relationship vis-a-vis the UK and the EU. And we'll be working now with the Northern Ireland administration about how we can manage the differential on tariffs between the US over the coming days.
Is there likely, though, to be a further complexity in that a product might contain elements from both jurisdictions?
Absolutely, and that's why we need to see the full technical breakdown of the US tariffs themselves, and then interpret that in the context of the agreement we have between the EU and the UK, which is underpinned by the Windsor framework and how that governs trade overall.
There will be companies today and workers who are deeply, deeply concerned about all of this. What will the government be doing for Irish companies whose business is badly affected by these tariffs?
So the first thing we're doing is, I suppose, there's three particular areas of focus. The first thing is to control what we can within the Irish economy. And we know from many external and independent economists the need for us to accelerate and address the infrastructure blockages in the Irish economy, which are inhibiting economic growth in terms of water, energy, transport and housing, and trying to accelerate delivery of those in the context of the new National Development Plan and having increased ambition on infrastructure delivery. Secondly, then, influencing the European collective response and playing a strong role within the European Union around the interaction we have with the US and managing the trade
dispute. But you're not talking about a specific financial support
that. These are very early days in the context of what was announced last night. We do need to help businesses around the regulatory environment which exists. We know there's huge frustration in the business community and the need for us to address and ensure we reform around balanced regulation in the Irish economy, but also in the European system. And we've a simplification package being worked on by the European Commission to help indigenous businesses across the European system, and we want to see that accelerated and to see the single market strengthened to unlock further opportunities. We'll engage with Enterprise Ireland and the IDA relating to sectoral specific impacts. Okay. But I think what we need to do is actually address how we can diversify markets, strengthen the approach around infrastructure delivery, and play an important and constructive role in the EU so that there is that collective approach between the EU and the US.
All right. Before we let you go, you're a former sports minister. What are your thoughts on Mick O'Dwyer today?
Oh, I was really saddened to see Mick pass away, and my sincere condolences to his family, friends, and the wider people in County Kerry and beyond. He's an icon and a legend of Irish sport, four All-Irelands for Kerry as a player, eight All-Irelands as a manager in a golden era for Gaelic games. And he made such an important contribution as well to Laois, Kildare, Wicklow, and so many other counties.
And broke many Dublin hearts down the years.
Many Dublin hearts, and as someone whose parents are both from County Mayo.
Oh, a few Mayo hearts as well.
Mayo hearts, well, that's always... but he's someone who is fondly remembered and made such a contribution to sport in Ireland, and he'll be truly missed.
Minister for Public Expenditure, Jack Chambers, thank you for being with us this lunchtime. Now, economists of all stripes have warned that the cost of tariffs will ultimately be passed on to American consumers and could plunge that country into a recession. However, Donald Trump, a longtime proponent of import taxes, has argued that it will introduce a new golden age for America. To get a sense of how his announcement is being seen in the United States today, we can talk to Niall Stanage, White House columnist with The Hill. Niall, thanks for talking to us. As you know, this is an all-consuming story here today. How is it playing out in America?
Oh, it is a massive story here in the US as well, Rachel, no question about that. As you alluded to in your introduction, President Trump has believed in a more protectionist policy for a long time, but it even divides the Republican Party, which was traditionally the party of free trade. And I think one of the vital things here is that Trump was elected last November in part because there had been high inflation, particularly earlier in the Biden administration, that had inflicted a big political wound on Biden. I think if these tariffs spark renewed inflation, that will be pretty disastrous for Trump and the Republican Party.
Watching him last night talking about other countries getting rich at America's expense, I mean, for some, that's going to be a pretty seductive message.
It is going to be a pretty seductive slogan. And the question is whether the things that follow in concrete terms match up to the slogan. It is certainly true that in the heartland of America, states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, if you travel through those places, you can literally see the hollowing out of American manufacturing, steel towns and so forth, that are now very impoverished, marginalized places. The question, though, is do tariffs change that? Do they change it at all? And if they change it even in theory, can the United States economy and the United States public bear the short-term pain that can be sparked by this level of disruption?
Is there a general awareness, do you think, that the numbers he quoted last night on that big board, for instance, the claim that the EU puts a tariff of 39% on US imports, that those just aren't true?
No is the short answer. The slightly longer answer is, I mean, if a lack of veracity was a disqualifying factor to be president, Donald Trump would never have got within 100 miles of the Oval Office. I mean, this is a person who traffics in hyperbole and distortion and outright lies with great regularity. And despite that, is only the second person in history to win two non-consecutive terms as president. So the rather dispiriting answer for people in our business, Rachel, is no, I don't think it is. People are aware that those numbers are false, but if they were aware, I don't think it would make much difference.
Any sign of the Democrats today?
Well, the Democrats are making the argument that this is a tax on the American people, that it will backfire, that it has kind of been slapped together. I was listening to your previous interview with the minister where he was trying to get clarity on what exactly was and wasn't covered. So those elements are things that the Democrats can seize on. But obviously they are a party that is pretty much at sea right now, still grappling with last November's loss and trying to figure out a direction ahead.
Niall, thanks so much for talking to us this lunchtime. Niall Stanage there of The Hill joining us from Washington. Well, in this country, employers and workers are digesting Donald Trump's unprecedented announcement. Our reporter Carol Coleman spent the morning in Sligo. Carol, what have people been saying to you?
Well, Rachel, there is not a cloud in the sky here. It's a beautiful sunny day in Sligo town. And I found people very aware, however, of the coming shadow cast by Mr. Trump's tariff announcement last night. In fact, the first person that I bumped into were on their way to a meeting to see how these tariffs would affect the transport company where they work. And even shoppers and strollers here I found very attuned to the coming impact. Let's hear some of them.
I think we should be worried. As well, maybe relieved in one way, but worried as well, because you don't know what he's going to do next. So, you know, like 20% today, what's going to be in another couple of weeks? And, you know, like there's no stopping him. So I think we're doing fairly all right here in Sligo, but that's going to put up the cost of living for everybody, you know. And as for the pharmaceuticals, I mean, if anything happens there, people are not going to be able to afford their medicines.
It's a great idea if it worked for him, but I don't think it'll actually, with the actually moving all the industry across the water, the implication that's going to have, I think it actually won't work. I don't think he has probably not got the educational infrastructure to do that either. So, look, we'll see.
Now, Collins McNicholas is a recruitment company which works principally with the multinationals, both nationally and here in the Northwest. And I met with Managing Director Niall Murray and got his reaction to what he heard last night.
It's very early days of probably just looking through the detail of it, but certainly at first glance it would look like it's good news at this point for the pharmaceutical sector in Ireland. And as you know, it's dotted around Ireland. It's we have a significant presence in the west of Ireland with AbbVie in Sligo and Westport, but there's also pharma dotted around all of Ireland and obviously a significant concentration in Cork. Locally, AbbVie would be the very significant player in the pharmaceutical sector. They'd employ a number of hundred across two sites and be seen as a very, very good employer and an employer of choice in the pharmaceutical sector in this region.
And I suppose despite the uncertainty and the build-up to last night's announcement, there are still plenty of jobs being advertised in these companies.
Yeah, well, if you look online and look at LinkedIn or the company websites, they're still quite active. There's still quite a number of opportunities across the board. And the skill sets they're typically hiring are, you know, well sought after, engineering and science and quality skill sets. So they're certainly in demand in Ireland, and there certainly are plenty of opportunities across the country in these in the different locations.
These companies that you mentioned, like AbbVie, they are a big part of local communities. They sponsor sports teams. They're involved in fundraising for various charities.
Very much so. I mean, if you take AbbVie local here, we'll be heavily invested in the local community. For example, the Sligo GA team that will go out on Sunday are sponsored by AbbVie, so are the Sligo Ladies senior team, and they also sponsor the Sligo Rovers Underage Academy. So they're heavily invested in the local communities, and they would do a significant amount of work with charities as well.
Niall Murray there of Collins McNicholas talking to me. And I should mention that when we were talking, it wasn't clear if medical devices were also exempt as well as pharma. And as you know, we just heard Jack Chambers say that there that they are not. And of course, that would be a big thing for a lot of small towns around the Northwest region who would have a medical device company employing 200, 300, even 600 people. We also know that alcohol faces a 20% tariff. Pat Rigney is co-founder of the Shed Distillery in Drumshambo, County Leitrim. And of course, they have that global brand, Drumshambo Gin. And he's not impressed by what he heard.
The US is over 35% of our business. It's always been a very important part. I think for drinks generally in Ireland, it's over 40, 45%. So it's very, very important to us. We have very strong relationships in the US, and at the moment, it's zero tariffs until this comes in. So there is no tariff on either side of the pond. That's why this is so ridiculous. The president talks about reciprocal tariffs. Well, if he was honest about it, there are no tariffs on drinks coming into Europe from the US or going back to the US. That's where we want to get to as soon as possible, to get back to zero for zero and get back to, you know, the way we've cooperated with our US cousins for years. Since 1997, there's been no tariffs whatsoever. So this is ridiculous, what's happening. And it depends on your brand. The more premium your brand, the higher the impact in some ways. So it could mean as much as, you know, 3 or 4 $5 on the shelf. It could be as much as $10, depending on the item.
Pat Rigney there laying out the direct impact on the whiskey and gin business. Also, we have Sazerac here in Sligo, which distills whiskey. I'm joined here by Sligo Chamber President Fintan Kennedy. Fintan, mixed fortunes. And of course, Sligo is very near to the border where they're just going to have 10% tariffs. How will you respond here in the Northwest?
Well, Carl, that has been one of the things. The good thing is the uncertainty is over, and I deal in risk in my own business every day. And now we have a starting point. And we've dealt with the border, with the issues with the border around Brexit and around COVID. It has forced us to look at other opportunities. So we have a competitive advantage here in our highly skilled workforce.
Now, I did get the impression, talking to even people on the street, that the graduates that ATU provides here are specifically trained almost to go into some of these industries, in pharma, in medtech. Will that stand to this area?
100%. You know, the ATU, Sligo RTC, Sligo IT has been producing graduates, top quality graduates, for the last 30 plus years. And the focus has always been on productivity, skill and innovation. They might sound like buzzwords, but that is genuinely the focus. And I was with a group from Ohio, and I had been over visiting them as part of a collaborative delegation with the Sligo County Council, and they were over here again last week and or this week, and I just left them in Ireland West Airport Knock this morning. And that's it, that's the region. Collaboration is the key, and really it's full steam ahead now, Carol, because things haven't changed. What we need most in the region is energy, road and rail infrastructure to drive us on.
Fintan Kennedy, President of Sligo Chamber of Commerce, thank you for joining me. And it's back to you, Rachel, in studio.
Carol, many thanks. That was our reporter, Carol Coleman, who's in Sligo today. Well, the tariffs could see a significant rise in the price of Irish goods on US supermarket shelves. That's a big concern for dairy farmers who supply milk to many Irish brands on sale in the US. Here's Kilkenny farmer Eamon Mooney.
I'm a dairy farmer in North Kilkenny, and we make about 140 cows, and all our milk goes to Tyrlone. A lot of that milk, I suppose, goes into manufacturing. The American market is very important to us. An awful lot of our butter and cheese goes to America, especially Kerrygold butter. It's a premium brand in the US, and it returns a good price to us for our milk on the ground. You know, we're dependent on a strong milk price, and tariffs like this will probably affect our products on the top shelf, and we need products on the top shelf in the likes of the US and Germany to return a good milk price to us on the ground. There's an awful lot of jobs, like our own situation at home. Like, I'd be concerned for our own future if this tariff has a major negative effect on the price of our raw material.
That was Eamon Mooney talking to us earlier. Well, Kerrygold is now the second biggest butter brand in the US. In a statement, Ornua, which makes Kerrygold, said it regretted the US decision but remained hopeful a solution could be reached. The IFA's chief economist, Tadhg Buckley, joins us now on the line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
Can you give us a sense of how important the United States is for Irish butter producers and cheese producers?
Well, the US market in total for food and drink exports constitutes about 11% of all we export. Now, when you actually delve into the numbers from an agricultural perspective, it's predominantly dairy. We export about 800 odd million euro per annum worth of goods of dairy goods to the US, and well over half of that is butter. So, you know, we export about €500 million worth of butter every year to the US, about €100 million worth of cheese, as well as infant formula, casein and whey. So it's a very important market for Irish dairy, particularly because we have a very strong premium brand in Kerrygold there, which allows us to get a good return from that market.
So will this inevitably then make Irish goods more expensive for American consumers?
That is the likely outcome, Rachel. A 20% tariff on goods is going to impact the price of the product on the shelf. Now, we've been here before. Irish butter was tariffed by 25% in 2019 by the previous Trump administration. So we have gone through something similar before on butter. But it is obviously very challenging when you have an overnight, you have a major rise. And I suppose the other thing about it is that it's not uniform. So like New Zealand, which would be the second largest in terms of exports of dairy to the US, they have a 10% tariff. And that competitive edge that gives them, I suppose, offers, you know, puts another challenge in front of the sector in terms of our exports to the US.
Yeah, as you say, New Zealand is facing a lower tariff, as is the UK. Is one of the concerns that this could also result in people in the United States moving away from Irish goods?
Well, I mean, yeah, I suppose if you look at it from an Irish perspective, on dairy, it would be New Zealand. And then on whiskey, it would be the UK, would be, in terms of Scotch whiskey, would be a key competitor to Irish whiskey. So that is the challenge we have. We do have some very strong brands in both sectors. But, you know, this is not a positive, I suppose. But one thing I would say from dairy, we export about 11 or 12%. So we are quite diversified on the dairy side of it. You know, we go to an awful lot of markets across the world. And that does give us an opportunity to possibly look at diversifying if we need to. Whiskey is probably more concentrated on the US than dairy is.
But however you look at this, I mean, we're talking about a lot of challenges for a lot of people over the coming weeks and months.
Absolutely. I mean, from a farming perspective, you know, it's not only dairy. You know, malting barley growers supply a lot of malt to Irish distillers, and they're challenged. And even besides that, Rachel, you have a lot of farm families with spouses or part-time farmers working in with US multinationals as well. So it's a very uncertain time. And it's probably only chapter one as well, you know, in terms of where this goes. So it is quite an uncertain time. Now, look, Irish farming has gone through a lot of challenges before and come out the other side, like the foot and mouth, Brexit, COVID. So we are able to deal with these shocks quite well. And this is another one we're going to have to deal with.
Like you say, a lot of people grappling with this today. Tadhg, thank you very much for talking to us. That was Tadhg Buckley, who's the chief economist with the Irish Farmers Association. We'll have more for you on the News at One after a short break.